Are you struggling to advance your career and sacrificing time with your loved ones because of endless to-dos, low energy, and just not enough time in the day? If so, then this podcast is for you. I am your host, Dr. Ann Sung, an ER critical care and space doctor, a peak performance coach, real estate investor, and a mother of a toddler. I'm here to guide you on mastering your mind and give you the essential skills to achieve peak performance. So welcome to Productivity MD, where you can learn to master your time and achieve the five freedoms in life.
Hello, welcome to Productivity MD podcast, and I am your host, Dr. Ann Sung. Today, I have Dr. Sanjay Sharma here. He is a full-time hematologist and oncologist, and also created his own private real estate equity company. And the reason why I brought him here, we have the same coach, essentially, in life and business in real estate. And I just thought that his story is pretty amazing for a physician to be able to do, you know, full-time physician work, and also to try to achieve passive income for real time freedom, for location freedom, for financial freedom. So I really want to dig into his brain to see why he does what he does and also how he's doing what he's doing. So Dr. Sharma, thank you so much for being on the show. Could you give us a little bit more detailed introduction of what you currently do, where you're from, and why you do what you do?
Yeah, sure. And thank you for inviting me. It's truly an honor. I remember first time I met you and first time I started listening to your podcast. So you do really incredible stuff for both yourself, your family, your kids, your husband, and for all the listeners. So it really is an honor. So about myself, like you mentioned, I am a full-time hematologist oncologist, and I also have a private real estate equity company. I also have a medical education company in addition, a father, I've got a dog, two teenage kids. So you asked me kind of to explain more of what I do. So like most of the physician listeners on this podcast, I have my day clinic, right? Seeing the 20, 25 patients. And then everything outside of that is involved with family and in real estate, if you will. And so what we do is we search the country. We search for asymmetrical risk benefits, or I should say risk rewards, in terms of what are the properties out there which are super, super safe, but have the rewards where we can give our investors double-digit returns and make sure that it's a good opportunity for them. And also, recognizing that most of my investors are physicians, I also look to a nation of doctors who are free, like you were describing before, of financial, location, geography, and most importantly, mindset, so we can make healthcare a better place. I mean, just imagine it. If all patients could go to doctors who were just complete inside, if you will. And that's what I hope to bring. And likewise, for what you do in your teachings and your podcast, you're teaching physicians to get into that space also.
Yeah. If you can have a physician who is not pressured to make that door-to-doc time, to make that, you know, certain like number of like patients seen in clinic per hour, and they don't have that financial stressor, then that, you know, that physician, I've heard that, you know, they feel much happier when they actually go into work. They feel like they have time to listen, et cetera. And can you tell me a little bit of, well, why do you have the medical education company as well? And why did you pick real estate? And the reason why you're even searching for the five freedoms in the first place, other than you told me that you want, you know, freedom to treat the patients, you know, as if they deserve to be treated, but is there anything else?
Yeah. So I've always had the spirit inside of me. I've always been taught. I think it goes back to my teachings of my grandfather, actually. We're always taught just to be the best at everything that you can be. He's now passed away, but I looked up to kind of how he led his life. And likewise, for anyone who comes from an immigrant family, on how the people who came to this country have gone through challenges, have gone through risks far greater than what I've ever felt, and definitely what my kids will ever feel. So I always grew up with that kind of mentality that no matter what you do, my grandfather taught me that you have to be the best, and you have to be very, like, you have to work towards it. You know, his heroes with Gandhi. He was a freedom fighter. He came to the U.S. You know, he brought his kids here. That generation of that family are super, super successful in terms of professional fields, in terms of politics, and then raising great kids. So I had that in me. So I was always the type of person who wanted to change the world. Somehow, some way, I was going to change the world. I just didn't know the avenues, and maybe I still don't know what those avenues are. So I've always had this feeling inside me that I need to make great, great, big changes. So A, that led me into medicine. I mean, there's very few professions that can do what we do and make the impact that they can. There's an absolute pure sanctity in a patient room when you're with a patient and you're helping that patient. And we're blessed to be given that opportunity. That brought me into medicine. Oncology was a natural fit for me in terms of my appreciation of the research and in terms of the intensities of what patients and families go through and how I can play a part in that. Medical education, also, I love to mentor. I love to teach. I'm in private practice. So this gives me an outlet in terms of influencing trials, mentoring younger physicians, educating existing healthcare providers. And so that was my avenue into that field. And then lastly, real estate to me is a asset class that can be mastered, especially at the level of a physician in whom we make very, very complex decisions all the time. So it's a field that you can master. It's an asset class in which you can help families, help a community, help your tenants, and bring your investors, quite frankly, really good returns. As an example, this is an example I use often, is we're taught as doctors, well, the way to become a doctor is you get good grades, you decide to become a doctor, and quite literally at age 20 or so, you start on the path, right? You go through college, you take all your classes, and then you're like, all right, I'm ready to go to med school. You get admitted to med school and you're like 20, 21, 22, whatever you are, you're young. And then that sets the course of your life. Literally, you're done. You got to study the heck, you know, you got to spend a lot of hours doing it. But once you're in, you're done. We're apprenticed into this field. We do amazing things. And that's what we're taught. Part of that teaching process was, okay, drop your money in a 401k and let it ride and retire when you were 70. I remember when I first started practice, I'm like, what? Why would people retire at 70? That is so dumb. I'm young. I'm going to be young 70. I'm going to practice until I'm 75, 80 years old. But obviously, as we get mature, as we get more wisdom, we change. But going back to the asset classes, I remember like a few years ago, I was going to open up a Vanguard account. And they're like, oh, you already have a Vanguard brokerage account. Huh? I don't know why. So I figured out the password and logged in. And there was like $30,000 in there. I was like, oh my God, that is amazing. I was like, why do I have 30 grand in there? And it went back. And my days at WashU, we were talking in the green room that we both went to WashU and Barnes for training. You know, I dropped like $6,000 or $7,000 in there. And it had grown over 20 years to $30,000, which is amazing. Much better than finding a $20 bill in your jeans pocket. But what if I had had that in a different asset class? What if I was getting 10%, 15%, 20% returns, tax deferred? That's possibly life-changing, right? That could have been 100 grand, 150 grand. That makes a bigger impact on a person's life than that nice tick of 6, 7% return. So I am hoping that all the physicians and all my investors, they share in that. And they recognize that there's a way for financial independence. And if you have that income coming in, you can be able to practice medicine the way you want to practice. You can travel, you can do all that kind of stuff.
So essentially, you're buying time, right? More time. Mm-hmm. So in your younger days, rather than waiting until 65, 70, cash out your 401k and retire. How do you look, you know, looking at other people's wives and, you know, for the physicians, how would you change your mindset? What would you say to them if they are scared of taking a risk or they don't want to learn, they don't have time to learn what they don't know, or that this is safe and they don't want to diversify because this works? What else have I heard? Just that they're okay. They accept that they will retire at 65.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to summarize what you say. So essentially, you talked about fear, right? You talked about the risks. I don't have the time. I don't know how to diversify. That's all. I combine it in an adjective of fear. And then you talked about comfort. Okay. So to begin with, it's okay and it's understandable to be at any of those situations. I have been and I am in different phases of that and in how I do my life. And I'm sure you are also. So doctors, we are naturally very, very analytical. And we're naturally doubtful. Like, how many trials have you looked at where you questioned the trials? And these have been already done. You know, the scientists have created these medicines in it. And then you start questioning, well, what's the inclusion criteria? What's this, how to do that? So that's our natural tendency that we've been trained to do. Therefore, if we're looking at finances, and it's something that we haven't been trained towards, there's going to be a natural analytical questions. We're naturally not going to accept it. That's just our behavior. So it does take a mindset shift to recognize what goals you want in terms of finances, and then to recognize what are the different asset classes that you can do to get there. Once you're in that situation, things become kind of easier. Like, I mean, in terms of meditations, you talk about guided meditations, right? Can you guide yourself to a particular end goal? Can you picture yourself at that end goal, whatever it may be, and then put it in real terms and drive yourself forward? Or I should say, I don't even want to say pull yourself forward, because you're being guided, you're being leaded. You've already set the path. It goes back to the med school example. I went to med school, I don't know, when I was 22, 23, whatever it was. All I did is I showed up, right? And then they just guided me. They said, okay, you take a test on this day, you study this material, you got this rotation, and that's what you do. You got to match. Okay, you got to sign up for a residency program. That's really all we would do, except someone already knew what our path was. The other thing about doctors is we love our autonomy. We love having control. These are the ways that you have control. You got to picture where you want to be in the future, and you got to guide yourself. So when I think about fear, I think about, it's not necessarily that there's a fire in front of you or a saber-toothed tiger is about to eat you up. It's recognizing that what's over there, and now I just have to go along this pathway. Then we'll talk about fear. You quite literally just have to do it. Like, see one, do one, teach one, right? You're in critical care. I mean, you do things that I don't want to do as a medical oncologist. A lot of those procedures, yeah, I did in residency, but that's just what you do. I mean, think about the first time you intubated someone. That's crazy scary. Think about your first code. It's like, oh my goodness, right? Whatever it may be. The first time I wrote for chemotherapy, the first time I gave a diagnosis for someone with malignancy X, Y, or Z, or I told them that they were progressing. I mean, that's kind of scary stuff. But we do that all the time. You know, we do that every single day, all the time. It's like no sweat off our back. We look at life problems, we look at health issues as we're experts. So yeah, you got to guide yourself. Two, you're correct, there is fear, and then you just got to jump into it. I guarantee you can handle it. The next thing to talk about is, you also mentioned, have a comfort. What if someone's like, you know, I'll work till I'm 70, 75, which is perfectly okay. I mean, I still may work, and I love medicine, I love oncology, and I may still be practicing at 75, I don't know. But it's the fact that you have options. Is this what I want to do? Or do I want to do this? Or do I want to do both? Or do I want to, you know, this, that, or the other? There's a friend that both you and I have, and he has he gives a talk titled "And Not Or." So the idea is, yeah, I want to practice medicine. I want to be an oncologist. But you know what? I also want to have a real estate equity company. You know what? I also want to mentor young physicians and young financial entrepreneurs. It's not that I'm seeing patients today, I'm seeing patients until I turn 65, and then I stop and I do something else. Or I want to start a real estate equity company, or I want to practice medicine. So that's how I look at comfort. It's okay to be comfortable, but just recognize that you can have choices in what you want to do in terms of a comfortableness.
Yeah, thank you so much. There's definitely a lot to unpack here. Number one is, if you can change your mindset and imagine the goal where you want to go, and you will be guided there in real estate if that's where you want to go. But really, you know, actually, to back up a little bit, real estate is just, this is a productivity podcast. Why are we even talking about real estate? Because real estate is an avenue that'll give you extra time and extra financial freedom. Like you said, you can be comfortable and be you know, have multiple identities at the same time and have choices. And you go a step further, what do you want to do with that extra time in terms of this, you know, what do you want to be productive in? So, you know, a lot of people, they actually want to spend more time with their kids. They don't want to work nights and weekends because it jeopardizes the quality time, the precious time they have with their family and their health too. And they just want to be able to take off for a month to travel, et cetera. They want to maybe have different like contributions. They want to contribute to different charities, but they're kind of stuck working and in the treadmill and the golden handcuffs. So it just gives you, it's not that it gives you more money, but it's what the money gives you in the end, the feeling, the time that it gives you. And this is why we're talking about it on a productivity podcast. And because this is one avenue to get you to be able to be productive in your life. And then when I say productive, it's not just in business. It's being productive with your family, with your loved ones, with your friends too, and not let them go. And then regarding the fear, that is so right. Like if you can make a decision on Epi, on codes, on Amio and things like that, on calling a code, you cannot, you don't think you can go out and learn the knowledge that you need in order to buy you time back faster? I mean, come on, seriously, we have all the skills that we need right now to learn this asset class. So you are so right in that. And we often feel like we're just kind of stuck in one field only, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And then anything else, like I'm not good at business, I'm not a business person, I'm not a salesperson, I'm not a marketing person, et cetera. So I really appreciate everything that you stated. And I wonder, you know, what are your goals in, say, 30 or 40 years? What would you want to have seen created? What kind of impact, what kind of contribution, how much passive income, et cetera?
So I'm actually going to back up before I answer that question, because I'm glad how you summarized what I was saying, because I brought, the whole time I was emphasizing time, and I emphasize at certain time periods, and you are also, is A, I talked about 20 years in terms of what happened from residency to now. Two, I talked about retiring at 75. And three, I talked about kind of the things I have interest in now that I spend my focus on. And then you appropriately brought it back into, hey, you know what, this is about productivity. And you appropriately brought it to palpable, real-life situations. Like, what are you doing? Or how can you spend time with your kids today, your friends today, your family today, your colleagues, maybe just yourself? And that's kind of a practical reality that all the stuff that you're talking about and I'm talking about brings you. So now let's look at a bigger picture. Let's talk about 30 or 40 years from now and what I hope to see, what my vision is in that time period. So I'll start out by saying that both you and I are ignited by shortening time range, right? So when you say 30 years, in my head, I immediately say, okay, what I'm going to accomplish in 30 years, I'll do in 10. Well, what my goal is in 10 is in 3. What my goal is 3 is 1 year. What my goal in 1 year is, well, that's going to be quarter four, 2023. So what I want to see is I truly want to see a nation of free physicians. And when I say free, I mean physicians who have the freedoms that they're looking for. I truly, strongly believe that healthcare will be better if you can utilize all your skills and all your learning and all your heart to each individual patient, okay? And not be stuck in whatever spot we're put in, where we're clocking in, clocking out. We still may be clocking in, clocking out, but you may not be held within that framework if you have other income coming in, if you have side income coming this way, this way, this way, if your mindset is free. So I look forward to a nation of physicians like that. Two, I look for my company to grow. You know, I hope to be a formidable multifamily syndication company in the country that we're known through the nations of brokers and financiers that this is a strong physician group that comes into a property with, you know, hundreds of doctors with 800 FICO scores and tons of net worth, and we can take down deals. You know, 30, 40 years from now, you know, my kids are now teenagers. You know, they're going to be having family. They're maybe going to be having kids. My wife and I are very blessed that we have a niece that's 2 years old. And I kind of get the idea of what grandparents feel like with kids. And man, we love spending time with the baby. You know, so in terms of family, it's going to be enjoying that time. And I'm hoping that the generational wealth I bring is that those kids, those the second, third generations of from directly from me, can enjoy those times. That maybe we're traveling. Maybe we're not within the limits of what society has given us. When I say that, you know, maybe we're not just stuck in one geographical area. Maybe we are studying in India. We have, my family has had a school in India. I've never been to, I've never contributed to it, but maybe something that's something that we can grow. So those are all part of my visions. It involves my family, it involves my investors, it involves the communities that we're going to be building and growing. And that's where I see myself in the future. And some way, somehow, I'm still going to be involved in medicine, doing something.
Yeah. And then for those of you guys listening, we talked about the mindset shift and creating that goal, the end vision. So this is like a perfect example of an ambitious vision, of a BHAG goal, you know, wanting all physicians, or big, hairy, audacious goal, that you want all physicians to feel free in some way, either financial, either in mindset, either location. But, you know, if you have emotional and mindset freedom, I think that's like the holy grail. So if you can just right now, if you haven't set that type of goals, that type of envision, like in 30, 40 years, that would be one thing that you can do right now after this podcast, because that is going to dictate what actions that you take the next year, or really the next week. That's how soon you're going to take action to get you towards that goal. And so, you know, you talked about that you want to spend time with your niece, your teenagers. Later on, they're going to, you know, grow and have their kids, of course. But, you know, you've already created a lot as a full-time hematologist, oncologist. So I am curious how you're able to create these multiple companies. I'm curious on how you found the time. And is there any routine, habits, resources that you found the most useful to help you learn this and take action on it?
Yeah. So it's A, you have to create time and you have to know how to create time. So your productivity podcast. So like, this is one of my many notebooks where when I wake up in the morning, this is what I go to, where I have it outlined in this and I can go into further detail. I use the Eisenhower matrix every day, in which I categorize things in either being important, not important, and urgent and not urgent. And I'll tell you, the first time I heard about it, it didn't really make sense to me. To simplify, I would say that how it's typically simplified, in which I do myself, is what's like the non-important stuff that's really not urgent that you can kind of get rid of, right? Social media, TV, whatever it may be. I mean, this is stuff you talk about all the time. And I know how incredibly good you are, because I've known you for a while and I've heard the things that you do. So you should be actually teaching me. But this is kind of how I have a very productive and focused day, week, month, goals, etc. Like, I know before I go to the gym in the morning I've already worked on the kind of the vision when you're talking about the 30, 40 years. How do I make myself, my mindset, and my business move into that direction? I know what are the important and urgent things that need to be done today, whether it's contacting brokers or doing a phone call or sending a message or setting up investor calls or posting on my LinkedIn or replying to my LinkedIn. And then in terms of family. And then I also have, I have a VA. So I also have it planned out. What am I going to give to my VA? What am I going to delegate to she, my executive assistant, to take care of things? And then now, so I wake up at 4 a.m. So by the time I'm done with the gym at 6:30, or by the time I go to the gym at 5:30, I've got all of this down and all of this accomplished. So A, I created time in terms of when I wake up. Although I will tell you, I've always been a morning. I've been always early. I talked about my grandfather, and that was his teaching. You wake up early. My dad, you wake up early. Me, I wake up early. That's like our thing. So that has always been set in my pattern, if you will. But then what I had to do, what I had to learn, is I had to organize that time. It's not so much you just wake up early and you kind of mess around. You're just like, you know, on your phone. Then you kind of eat. And then you're like, oh, shoot, I got to make it to the gym. And then you go. It's how do you make that productive? So then that's an hour and a half every day for a week. So you've created, what, 8 hours already of time that was there, but I actually created it to make it productive. And then secondly, the other things you do is you recognize what are the times you have after your day job and between there and what you need to do with your family, your household, and all that kind of stuff. So if I'm starting out, you know, with all of this organized, which you can't see in my notebook, is then I can account for those hours. Like, for example, for today, I had it planned that on my drive, I was doing a phone call involved in my medical education building, my education company. Then it's followed up by this podcast recording with you. It's kind of like all in there without the stress of a to-do list. To-do lists are really darn stressful. It's like, oh God, I got to do this, I got to do that. Or think about in your office, like, oh, I got another note to do. I got to, you know, take care of this. But now it's, we'll call it a to-do list, but it's categorized and I created it. This is my autonomy. And like you were describing before, this is what's getting me 30 years from now. And now I'm 30 years minus one day. And tomorrow will be 30 years minus 2 days because I'm reaching those goals. So when you asked about kind of how I create time, one, waking up early, two, being productive. And then I gave you a tool in terms of how I stay productive, both in hiring VA and delegating, two, in using this matrix. That's my mojo right now. That's my plan.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's a golden hour of trauma resuscitation. And then there's like the golden hour of productivity in the morning. If you can, you know, have your three priorities set from your Eisenhower, done, you know, all resources pulled out, ready to go the night before, the morning of, you just tackle it and you feel, I mean, you'll be done like in 1 hour. Like you said, it's not how much more time you need, is how much in flow and how much optimized you can be in that 1 hour that you have. I'm curious, I do hear a lot that when you have young kids and you're, you know, you're doing all these things at night and all these prep things in the morning, how can you go to bed early enough to wake up early enough?
Oh, so, well, my kids are older, so they don't need as much caretaking, if you will, from me. Also, my wife does most of that. But I'm pretty tired by the end of the day. Like 9, 10 o'clock, I'm pretty beat. And like you were saying, the golden hour is for me is the morning. So yeah, I sleep early. I don't sleep at midnight. I mean, unless I'm out on the weekends and stuff like that. So yeah, for me, it's an early sleep for sure.
Okay, got it. I definitely agree with what you said about hiring an executive assistant. And a lot of us feel like it has to be very expensive. It's definitely way cheaper than your own hourly rate. So if you're doing something that is way less than your hourly rate, like cleaning, cooking, I don't know, handyman work, et cetera, yard work, then it's really, you're doing these things for a very expensive rate. So I would definitely suggest like outsourcing all of your little tasks that's not in your zone genius. And that's how you can have people work for you while you're doing your clinic work, essentially. So the wheel is still churning while you're in clinic and seeing patients.
You know, I'll tell you like another little hack. And I remember you talking to me about this is even like the automated stuff. Well, I'll tell you one automated stuff, which just sounds so dumb, but it made a big difference in my life. Instead of setting my alarm the night before, I have set it on my iPhone for the whole week and the weekends. I don't have to touch my phone. I'm all done. It's like an automated thing. But I remember you talking to me once about how you use your VA to do things which are relatively easy to do, like whether it's Amazon shopping or ordering stuff. In a lot of, you know, modern economy, there's a lot we can just do on our phone, like making a dinner reservations or all that kind of stuff. But you know who else can do that? Is an executive assistant. And those little 5-minute activities, remembering your password and all this kind of stuff, that adds up. Like that little like 30-second thing I have to do to set my alarm in the morning is taken away. So some people are like, oh yeah, that sounds awesome to have an executive assistant. But then like everything is so automated now. You know, do I really need it? Like modern economy is set where you can just kind of do everything on your phone. Even those little phone things add up. And it's so true for anyone listening. Just think about, just make one little change and just see how it makes you feel, even if it's 30 seconds. It's freeing.
Yeah. And you don't have to look at your phone at night to set your alarm so you're not exposed to blue light as well. That's another thing. So you can actually have good quality sleep. And I would say, as an example, what you're talking about automation, I automated all of my meat delivery from ButcherBox. So it's done every month or every month and a half or so, and it just comes. Yeah. So, or Instacart, if you already have something already saved in your orders, you just, you know, reorder everything and be done with it. So make some modification and that's it. So just like what you said. And is there a tech or a tool that you use that has been helpful for you? Like an app, some sort of technology, a plugin, extension, anything that you use?
This, you know, what's been the best thing for my business is Calendly. Oh my God, that makes life so better. Even for us, even for you and I, when we had to reschedule this, you know, we had a few back and forth texts. But now, if I need to set up a call or whatever, I just shoot up my Calendly and it's just, it's done. It's a silly thing, but if you can do it, it's the best. So I'd have to say that's actually my favorite tool.
Awesome. Yeah, it's pretty easy to set up on your own. You don't need an assistant. You can get one set up in like 30 minutes or so if you really wanted to. And then in terms of like, what is one step that the audience can take to get themselves educated on either real estate or how to even begin on this path? Or maybe they don't even know that they want to do real estate, but they just know they need to get out and have choices. Yeah. What would you suggest they do as their one action?
Sure. So I'm ultimately going to say, I'm going to lead up to this, but I'm ultimately going to say it's networking and meeting people. But in order to get there, and especially when you're talking about the education part, is recognize, because A, you've already talked about creating time. Where are some of the dead times where you can do education? And the best place is the car. Like, how many hundreds of hours, of thousands of hours of podcasts did I listen to before I got my first deal? I listened to it at 1.7 or 2x speed. And that's really where I get my education in terms of, and then we're also listening to audiobooks. So I recognize that dead time that you have, and I utilize that for my education, and I continuously learn, whether it's tax, real estate, activities. I also do my phone calls during that time period. So I would say that's a tool. Listening to podcasts, listening to what other people are doing. And then the next step in terms of networking is get in our realm. We are so easy to talk to. There is nothing intimidating about all of us, any of us. And we like doing this. We like to mentor people. We like to talk to people. And then maybe introduce yourself, like your podcast guest, myself, or anyone else. Send them a message. Send he or she a text or an email. And I bet you it's going to further your education, further your networking, and bring you into different circles. And for me, it took several years to realize, to find who those people are who think like me, who are doctors and who think like me and who have those dreams. So, but going back to what you were asking, what's the one thing they can do is start listening to podcasts 2x speed on your drive to and from work.
Any podcasts you would recommend, books or any websites, blogs, and communities that they can look into?
Yeah. So there's, for purely real estate education, I think Bigger Pockets is a lot of fun and very educational to listen to. In terms of physician freedoms and recognizing what entrepreneurs do, I think your podcast is great. It kind of sets people on their mind. I like Vikram Raya's podcast, Limitless MD. I like Peter Kim's, PIMD. You know, those are all my go-to podcasts that I listen to. In terms of books, yes, about books and resources. What I refer to in the Eisenhower Matrix that came from The Perfect Week by Craig Ballantyne, that is a very simple read with kind of simple exercises on how to create the Eisenhower Matrix. So it's an actionable book as opposed to an entertainment book saying, oh, well, this person is super successful and look what he or she did. It's actually a workbook that you can use. So those are the some things I use.
Yeah. And I use the Eisenhower all the time, whenever, especially when I'm stressed out of all the mounting lists of items. It's a great way to organize. I think, you know, just to touch on the most common mistake people do with their to-do list is that they do the easiest one, the quickest one, the one that is due first, typically. Mm-hmm. They go by deadlines and how short of a time it takes so they can cross it off. Though with the Eisenhower, you'll see what you're doing first. It will be the hardest task, the most time consuming, probably the most complex, the deepest work, because of, you know, that's what you're, it should be something that you're doing that's always moving the needle in towards your vision. So there's a lot of things that, you know, people are doing that's not really moving their needle towards their vision at all whatsoever. Mm-hmm. The Eisenhower helps you to identify the non-urgent but important tasks that you need to do. And that's what you actually tackle first. So that's like a long story short summary of what it does, essentially. And I know we talked about so much, you know, from the beginning. If you were to summarize 3 points that you want the audience to really take away from, what would you say it would be from this?
Okay. So I'm going to start off by saying the audience, when they listen to your podcast and then they meet your guests, is I don't want them to be impressed, but I want them to see themselves and who we are and what we're becoming. That makes it palpable. That makes it tangible. And I'm hoping that that encourages people to go explore the things that they need to explore, whether they're my goals or your goals. Other bullet points I would say is I want, in listening to us and in thinking, I want people to recognize that there are freedoms out there. A lot of the conversations I have with doctors is that they have a 30 or 40 year horizon, or however long the time period is, of doing the same thing. And I want them to know that there are a lot more options out there. And when you asked me about the 30 year, I said, well, let's break that down into 10 years and 3 years and 1 year and 90 days. And then when I start talking to people like that, and we just entered Q4 of 2023, it kind of blows their mind. But I know that's how you think. I know that's how I think. And everyone else who's listening to this podcast, we're all the same. There's nothing different than that. So I want people to recognize what those freedoms are that they're looking, because they can be attained. So those are the things that I gave you 2 bullet points, but I think that's what I'm hoping people get out of this. And in the summary, you know, and to summarize what I talked about, you know, I kind of talked about how what drove me to do the things that I do, kind of the inner spirit I have that was influenced by my family, and how that's pushing me forward to hopefully give back to the world, to, like I said, to change the world in one way or another. And I hope that that's what I can share with others.
Yeah. And if people want to learn a little bit more how they can get started, if they have additional questions, you know, just like you said, you want to be able to educate and contribute. How can people reach you? Where can people find you?
Yeah. So I'm on LinkedIn every day. So please reach out and hook up with me on LinkedIn, and Sanjay Sharma, MD. You can also email me directly at sanjay.sharma@excapinv.com. And that's for my company, Exponential Capital Investments. It's a smaller version instead of all those letters. And then also my website, www.excapinv.com. But I would say the best is on LinkedIn. I will reply to you.
Okay, got it. So just to repeat again, excapinv.com. Is that correct?
Oh, no, it's excapinv.com.
INV.com, capitalinvestments.com. Okay. We will definitely have all of your contacts, you know, social media, website, all the email in our show notes. So the audience you don't have to worry. We're going to have it on there. Don't have to jot it down right now. And I would say right now after this, please take one action, whether that's getting the book, The Perfect Week Formula, or just setting your vision, your goal. Or you can also do the Eisenhower matrix on what your to-do lists are right now, perhaps, or just go to one of the podcasts, or maybe one micro action is just to reach out to Sanjay right now on LinkedIn, send him a message, and then just connect and learn how he's able to do this to achieve the freedom that he has right now as a full-time physician. So thank you again, Sanjay, so much for coming onto the show. I know that the audience will benefit greatly from this and will be, you know, you said that you don't want them to be intimidated or inspired, but really we're just here to show you that anything is possible if you have the right guidance, just like how we did it in med school. So, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And then to the audience, our show notes are going to be on productivitymd.com. And if you go there, you have the links to everything we talked about, the resources we talked about, and also you'll be able to join a Productivity MD Mastermind Facebook group and book a discovery coaching call if you feel like the productivity is right for you. So again, I appreciate the audience, your time, attention, and presence. And just remember that everything we need is within us now. Thank you.
Disclaimer, this content is for general information purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information linked to this content is at the user's own risk. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical conditions they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. The views are personal views only and do not represent any university or government institution.